It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena and Happy New Year, Mayor Phil Goff. How are you?
Atamare, Rachel. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Actually, I'm a bit sore. I went home from work yesterday afternoon and we bought our hay in, and that's quite a task. You know, the first 100 bales is easy and the last 100 bales are much harder, but we got it all in. But, you know, even though I haven't been sitting behind my desk much in the last 3 weeks, I'm clearly not as fit as I should be.
Well, it's good to have a break. That's an important thing to do. Hey, we've got some big topics to talk about this morning, though, because the world doesn't stop turning while we're on holiday, unfortunately. And one massive topic that is also a huge tragedy as well is, of course, the bushfire crisis happening across the ditch in Australia. This is obviously very scary. It makes you realise how small the world is, all those big orange skies that we've all been seeing the last couple of weeks. But what are some of the big climate-related hazards that Auckland faces as a city, and how is the council preparing for those?
Yeah, well, it was kind of scary. I remember on the day that the skies did turn yellow, I put a couple of posts up on Facebook saying, hey, whoa, look at this. And it was kind of an eerie feeling. It was just like there was an impending storm, you know, the calm before the storm. Mm. So I thought, went down and secured everything, thought there's a storm coming. But it wasn't. It was simply the impact of the bushfires. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a reminder of two things for us. One, the tragedy of the bushfires in Australia, where we've had multiple deaths. We've had, a billion animals killed, 3 million hectares of land on fire. And finally, the Australian Prime Minister acknowledging, well, yeah, maybe this does have something to do with climate change. In terms of how it affected us, checked out to make sure that there wasn't any health hazard, and both the Ministry of Health and the Council Health people have said no immediate threat. It won't impact the air that we breathe. It's mm-hmm. more upper atmosphere. And that's good news, but will we continue to be affected? Well, we will be periodically when the wind is in the appropriate direction, and as long as the fires burn. And I've seen estimates that maybe the bushfires will keep burning right through to April. We hope that that's not the case, but that's the risk. If the air quality does deteriorate, obviously we'd let people know, and the particular people at risk are people who are pregnant, women who are pregnant, babies, those that suffer from respiratory conditions such as asthma, mm-hmm. and older people with chronic illnesses. But, you know, the advice always given, if there was a local bushfire or something like that, stay indoors, close the windows, turn the air con off. Any smoke is hazardous, as we remember from the time of the convention centre fire.
Mm. Well, it's an interesting one, though, because this, in many ways, bushfires does feel like a very Australian thing. We've heard about Australia having bushfires, you know, regularly. This is obviously on a completely different scale. But I guess to go back to my earlier question, what are some of our specific hazards that you can see climate change maybe making more apparent or more likely, and how are we dealing with that in Auckland?
Yeah, well, there's a whole lot of risks. Obviously, the first is more extreme climate conditions, so more extreme drought conditions, and we saw a little bit of that with the first 6 months of last year being the driest ever on record in Auckland. When more extreme flooding conditions, fortunately, we haven't seen much of that, but that's always a risk. Rising sea levels. There was an interesting article in the Herald yesterday saying that, you know, if the Antarctic ice shelf collapses, you could see sea level rises of up to 5 metres. I've never seen that sort of extreme prediction before, but you can imagine what the impact that would be on Auckland. For us in Auckland, it's coastal erosion, mm-hmm. it's flooding in low-lying areas, and, you know, as part of our climate change strategy, one is to mitigate the effect by trying to reduce carbon emissions. The other is how you adapt to the changes that are being created, and we're starting to have to do both of those things. We began with some modest measures in the draft annual plan, just cutting our own council emissions back by 20% in the next few years. But clearly in the long-term plan, we're going to have to do more than that. And I'm still waiting for reports from our our council staff, and we'll be looking for international expertise too on what the most effective things we can do to try to mitigate the increase in temperatures. And I mean, the other worrying thing that came through just in the last couple of weeks was the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, mm-hmm. saying that the Paris conference got it wrong. If we just rely on current measures, it won't be keeping it to 2%. It'll increase in centigrade in temperatures, but it'll be something like 3.2%, and that's a worry as well. So we'll be entering into discussions with government, because you know we're a city, we're not a country, and even as a country we're pretty small. But we need to take a leading role. And at the same time, we need to put pressure on the other big countries. Australia, our mates across the Tasman, you know, you can't keep mining coal and saying it's not having any impact. It's India, it's China, it's the United States, because unless those countries make the change, even if we put forward our best endeavours, which we need to, that's not going to change the ultimate outcome for the planet. And it might not have the most disastrous effects in my lifetime, mm-hmm. but it's certainly going to affect my kids and my grandkids.
Well, let's talk a little bit now about another big Auckland issue, which is house prices. So they're projected to rise in Auckland. What can the council do to help ensure that there's affordable and stable housing for both buying and renting? I know this is a bigger government question but what can the council specifically do?
The council can do a lot of things, and we are. Over the last 18 months, we've had a drop in house prices, but now in the latest quarter, I think October to November, it usually goes up in spring, but even seasonally adjusted, we're seeing a recovery in house prices in Auckland, not back to the peak that they were, but it seems that we will reach that peak again. Why is that? One, the economy is still reasonably strong. Two, interest rates are at the lowest ever. Three, investors are coming back into the market because there isn't a capital gains tax, and that's a mixed blessing. And yet, with higher wages and lower interest rates, more first-home buyers are in the market as well, so there's pressure on it. So what does council do? The biggest thing that council has done is increase the area zoned for new housing. And we've done that by creating more than 1 million potential sites for houses across Auckland over the coming decades. And we're seeing almost, actually in the last, I think the October figures, the consents issued were just under 15,000. We'll compare that with consents being issued 10 years ago, and it was more likely around 3,000. So it's a fivefold increase. And the actual code compliance certificates issued, that's completed houses, were up to just under 12,000. There's a bit of a lag between consents and completion of houses. But we're now starting to build houses at a rate that meets population growth, including mm-hmm. migration. And if we do that, that puts a bit of a downward pressure on housing prices. We're also working with government to get more social housing, because affordable housing, you know, it doesn't matter even if we build the new houses for people on the lowest incomes, mm-hmm. they're not going to buy their own homes, they're going to rent, and we want to make sure there's enough affordable rental housing available.
Is there any sort of discussion around something like rent controls? Is that something that we can talk about in Auckland? I know there's lots of cities around the world who have rent controls as part of their infrastructure. Is that something that we could be thinking about?
Yeah, I first looked at rent control when I was Minister of Housing about 34 years ago. It's a long time. And all of the evidence at that time that I looked at said that, we saw it, Muldoon actually introduced it, if anybody can remember Muldoon as the Prime Minister when
I was quite hard to forget, unfortunately.
He was. He introduced it. But what we saw was, you know, if people are desperate to get into rental properties, they'll say, well, look, we'll give you this money under the table. So the real answer to maintaining lower rents is to make sure the supply of houses match the demand for housing. And that's really important, and the state has a critical role to play in that with more state houses. And I'm glad that, you know, we're building another 3,500 state houses in the next 3 years. That's at record levels in recent years. But we need to do still more. And we're working pretty hard. I'll be meeting with the Housing First people in the next couple of weeks just to look at what we can do about, you know, what further we can do about the homelessness situation. But rent control itself, I don't think has proven particularly effective, and particularly not when you've got rising population and the inability of housing supply to meet that. So tackling the fundamental issues and then ensuring that there is affordable housing for those that the market don't cater for are both fundamental ways that we can tackle our housing crisis. And, you know, I'm really pleased to see that we actually have made some real progress in both of those areas.
Well, just quickly before we let you go, I was just wondering if you could comment a little bit on the infrastructure boost of $12 billion that the government has announced at the start of December that will be sort of rolled out across the next 4 years. Much of that's going towards transport. What would you ideally like to see for Auckland from that?
I've sent the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance a very long wish list. I know it's after Christmas, and I know they're not Santa Claus, but we are a third of the country's population, so I'd expect to see, you know, something around $4 billion worth of expenditure, extra expenditure on infrastructure. And there's a range of different things. Look, we've set out the Auckland Transport Alignment Project with government, which sets out our jointly agreed priorities. And it would be a case of bringing a lot of those things forward. I'd like to see a third main trunk rail line, because once we've got the City Rail Link open, there's going to be huge demand on rail, and we want to keep up with that. I want to see more bus ways and bus lanes. I want to see more cycle and walkways. I'd like to see Mill Road and Penlink brought forward as major arterial routes. And I've thrown in a few extra things there, more in hope than in expectation, I've got to say. Don't tell the Minister of Finance I said that. And that's things like, you know, we'd like a fee-bait system so we could bring forward our conversion of our bus fleet from diesel to electric. I'd like to see government moving to establish national recycling onshore recycling plants for plastic and paper, because China won't buy it now, and Malaysia and Indonesia increasingly don't want it. And we don't want to go back to landfilling, you know, our plastics and our paper. So there's a few extra things that I've thrown in there. I've given them a long list of projects that I think are worthwhile and can be backed up by business cases and are in line with their priorities, both to create jobs and to lower carbon emissions. And I'm hoping that we'll at least get a chunk of those. And, you know, certainly welcome the fact another, you know, if we can get another $3 or $4 billion spent in Auckland on infrastructure and bring that forward, that really helps some of the key challenges that we are faced with.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's lovely to have you back on the show for 2020.
And it's good to be back, although I'm sitting there at my desk with the paperwork thinking, oh, God, this time last week I was out fishing.
I think there's probably a few people in that boat this week. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Rachel.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
It certainly